I'm speaking today with Councilmember Wanda Adams, who is the incumbent in District D. Councilmember, first question I'd like to ask. This is your first term in office. Has it been what you thought it would be back when you were campaigning for this office?
Well, it's actually, first of all, I want to thank you so much for allowing me this second opportunity to interview with you. It's been a wonderful 2 years, well, a little less than 2 years. It's been an exciting time. It's been more than whatever I can dream of, whatever I can think of. It's really given me the true meaning of being a real public servant.
Now, you were a city employee before you were a city council member. How is it different?
It has given me a great advantage. It differs largely because being a former city council member, of course, you
former
had
city employee.
You had supervisors, you know, above me who I had to report to, directors. I had to go through a lot of red tape, which is the same thing we do through now, really. And it's a big difference, but it's almost in the same, because being an employee, I serve the constituents of District D under the mayor's office and in solid waste. And being a council member, I have the opportunity to serve the constituents of solid waste. What's been the greatest advantage is because I was able to hit the ground running, and which holds to be true. And not only that, a lot of things that have occurred in the district I had prior knowledge to. So that is one of the biggest advantages that I have.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on in the district. What have you been working on in District D?
Well, one of the biggest things, one of the bigger accomplishments, to you it may not seem big, but to me it appears big. One of my things that I know that I wanted to do is, I don't know when the last time you drove down Cullen, it's probably the last time you came to my campaign office.
I don't get out that way all that
well, often. Well, when you came down Cullen during the time, you noticed the esplanades and the medians at the time, they were all concrete. And you know, back then I told you that the environment was really important to me in promoting green space and making the community green. Well, one thing I did, I went to the mayor with one of my first big requests, is that I went to the mayor and I said, I would love to put greenery down Cullen in the Esplanade. And is there any possible way we can find funding of some type of environmental money or green money or something that we can put into the district to plant trees and grass? And it took about 7 or 8 months to come, and we developed a partnership with the Parks Department, and we were able to find some funding, and now if you go down Cullen, you'll notice grass and trees.
Well, I'll have to go check it out. Now, your experience with city as a city employee was with solid waste and recycling, and I presume you've been busy on that with city council as well. I know right now, for example, there's a pilot program going on for single stream recycling that enables people to not have to separate their recyclables and to include glass. Tell me a little bit where this pilot stands and when we can expect it to be expanded, like, say, to my neighborhood.
Well, one of the things that I can say is that talking to Director Hayes and looking at ways that we can expand it to those communities that currently participate in recycling, but they would like to increase their recycling. In District D, we probably had about less than 10 neighborhoods that participated in recycling altogether, which is not a whole lot. It's probably even less than that. And one of the things that I asked him when the new pilot program came along is, if I can add a bigger block of District D, will I be able to do that? And one of the things he was able to do, we added a new community, Corinthian Point, to the recycling program, and I think they have almost nearly 400 homes. And so that was a plus, and I was really excited about that. And they just got added maybe less than a month ago. And right now the pilot, they're doing tremendously well. My understanding that it increased almost 65% from where it was before. I think it was around about 20. And to 65% is really good in some of our big neighborhoods. So I'm believing that recycling single stream will be here, because you have companies that are building single stream recycling centers here in the city of Houston. So that's going to be a great plus for us here in Houston.
Now, the problem has often seemed to be, at least, you know, when you read about recycling and use, the problem seems to be that a lot of the neighborhoods that have had it don't really participate all that much. What is the city doing about that, and why do you think it is that participation rates aren't as good as they are in some other cities?
I can say I started when I was doing the recycling when I was the recycling coordinator for the city of Houston, when I started around about 2006. One of the things that I ran into was people was like, okay, what is recycling in some of our communities? Okay, why should we recycle in Houston? I think we probably picked up this big green phase probably within the last 10 years on how important recycling is to the city of Houston. So it hasn't always been like a push. Say we must recycle. And then, of course, a lot of complaints that we received is that it's not convenient, especially waiting the two-week span, and we're only giving you this 25 or 30-gallon recycling green bin, and it doesn't make it, it's not easy for people to recycle. So one of the things that we're looking at with the pilot is to make it easy, convenient, so we'll pick it up at your curb, and easy meaning you can put everything in the green bin outside of food. So I think with them getting on board, hopefully with this new pilot project, what it would do is provide the education that is needed so people want to jump on board. And making it convenient with us picking it up at the curb is one thing, because in some communities they have to travel as far as, you know, 20 miles just to get to the nearest recycling center.
Now, obviously, having curbside recycling for residents is a big thing. It will help reduce the amount of landfill space that Houston needs. But of course, you know, residential waste is a fairly small part of the total. I mean, industrial and, you know, waste and commercial, like especially from restaurants, for example, is also a big part of it. You know, what, if anything, is the city doing about that? And is there anything planned to, you know, do more of that?
Well, I know you probably heard about the new Woody Waste Program that the City of Houston has put together. And with the Woody Waste Program, one thing that the mayor and Director Hayes, one thing they did look at was to look at how much waste that we are putting inside the landfills. You notice we probably have about 13 years of landfill space left if we continue at the rate that we're going. So what they decided to do is to come up with the Woody Waste Program to know that people were putting out more junk waste than they were woody waste. And then the green waste, because everybody don't mow their lawns, you know, every week, like in some of the bigger communities. So what we decided to do so we can save money, we can divert some of that tree waste from the landfill, and we'll be able to recycle some of that. So we're able to save a lot of money just from the green recycling. So whereas they went to monthly periods. So I think this is saving the city a lot of money with the diversion of the green waste versus the woody waste. And I think it's a great thing. Since you said it is so small, yes it is. But I think if we can really just get on board and really get educated about recycling and the importance of recycling, how it really saves our environment, and just really just hit it home and put a lot of money into education, I think the constituents of Houston would get it.
Okay. Going to some District D stuff for a minute. One of the, you know, the Astrodome is in your district, and there was just a story in the paper about a deal that the city is working on with the county to create a new tax increment reinvestment zone, a TERS, around that area, with an eye for, among other things, trying finally to do something with the Astrodome. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what that TERS is going to be, you know, where it's going to be and what it's going to be for, and, you know, is this an appropriate vehicle for funding these kind of projects?
Well, actually, the TERS was created for us to get some of those increments from off of the tax base, and I think this is to TERS number 15, which is the downtown area TERS, and with the Dynamo Stadium proposing being built right on the outside of downtown, of course, you have the eighth wonder of the world that sits in District D that's on the other side of town. What this TERS will be able to do is get some of that money to offset some of the expenses. Now, the City of Houston is helping them actually put it together, but actually this is something that is actually initiated by the county. We would not really have a hands-on in it. We're just helping put everything together. The TERS District 15 is coming up with a plan, and they're getting with the partners with Harris County. So they come up with a proposal plan exactly what they're wanting to do. So hopefully I think this would be a good thing, because I support the Dynamo Stadium. I think it will be a great addition to the City of Houston. And anything that we can do to help offset the expense from taxpayers, anything is good. Now, the Eight Wonder, you know, knowing that it's been in the City of Houston for many, 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 many years, when you look at it, you just want to make sure you be able to attract the right type of investors are the right type of group to see what we can do to the Astrodome. You hear so many things coming across the board. Some people say tear it down, make it into a parking lot. You know, some people say make it into a hotel. You know, some people say make it into a museum studio where people can come make movies. I mean, it's just a variety of things, but I'm thinking with the Harris County Sports Authority, they have the final decision on what happens to the Astrodome.
Metro is has just broken ground on two more of its rail lines. Now, I don't believe any of that intersects with District D, but obviously it's a big deal for the city as a whole. Give me your assessment of how you think Metro is progressing on its light rail construction, and, you know, how it's doing in the matter of community outreach.
Well, I have to correct you on one thing. It will impact District D greatly, because one of the major lines is the Southeast Line, and the Southeast Line will run by University of Houston into the Palm Center. So that's a great impact, and they're doing great outreach in the community. It was one of my biggest things when I talked to Mr. Frank Wilson and the group over there at Metro, the Metro Board, is to make sure that communication is the biggest and the most important thing coming to the community. The reason being, because when you look at the main street Metro line, that's the only book that we have to read. When you look at it, there was no communication to businesses. They did the rail. Businesses closed down. People lost their livelihood. I do not want that to happen in District D. We're going to have two rail lines that's coming, which will be the University line, the one that will be coming down Richmond Avenue, and that's part of the District D, going through the Museum District and connecting with that Willa Avenue and then spreading into the Southeast line. So District D plays a huge part in it, and I make sure that I communicate with them, you know, on a bi-monthly basis to see where we are. But once we get closer to the actual shovel in the ground, then I have a more on hands-on to make sure that we have greater input. My staff attends the monthly meetings of the Metro just to make sure where we are and where things are going. So I'm really, really excited, but outreach is really important because we want businesses to continue to thrive along the MLK area, along the University area. We don't want anyone to close down. We want people to be able to maintain their livelihood, and that's a commitment from Metro with the communication that will be.
And there was just a story in the Chronicle about Metro using a different type of bond vehicle to pay for its rail construction. There were some concerns that wasn't as risk-free as the traditional way of doing it. Do you have any concerns about this?
Well, the only thing is to make sure, one of my big things, if you noticed last year, if you really watched, one of my biggest decisions that I had to make was the Metro Consent Agreement. And one of the things, the big questions that I had is to make sure that Metro remains transparent as possible. So if there are any changes in the funding sources, if there are any change of communication between us and them, that they ought to let us know. And I'm just going to uphold them to that.
Okay. City Council's budget that was passed this year, obviously we're in some hard economic times, and there was 1% cut, I believe, more or less across the board. You know, give me your assessment of the budget that Council passed, and, you know, what do you think, what kind of financial shape do you think the city is in going forward?
Well, I think with the budget that was passed, a lot of things got cut out. One thing I did not support is the loss in the cadet classes for the Houston Police Department, because in order for us to catch up with the force that we need, because there's a what they call a camel's hump, if you will, that we have a lot of HPD officers that's due to retire soon. And the rate that we're going, my fear as a council member is that we will not be able to catch up with as many officers that we're slated to lose. That's one of the concerns that I have. The 1% across the board, we all participated in it. We agreed, our council officers participated in the 1% budget, just to make sure that the money that we're saving will be best utilized for the city as a whole. And I think that we need to look at ways that we can streamline our budgets, be able to hopefully find some funding for the cadet classes, continue to find some funding to make sure that we continue to help our employees with pay performance raises. That's one thing that I just want to make sure that we stay on top of, that because our employees are our backbone. So anything that I need to do to make sure that we stay on a on a upward mode with our budget that we need to do so. Passing that budget was, you know, not an easy task. There's a lot of things that I didn't agree with, some departments I wish that they could have cut in some areas where they didn't cut. But, you know, I've asked for some cuts and asked for some things and to make sure that we look at the budget as a whole. And I think that we all came to an agreement and we was able to pass the budget that we all thought it was a good budget at this time.
Now, I mean, just literally everybody I talk to, candidates, office holders, talks about HVD, the cadet mm-hmm. classes, and wanting to maintain or increase the size of the police force. Of course, public safety is a big part of the budget, and the costs for HPD have been increasing greatly, even mm-hmm. as the size of the force has been mm-hmm. about the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you deal with that when revenues are down?
Right. But what you have to do, Charles, is that you have to be able to look at things that we funded in the past to see where we are on that. Is that something that we really need at this time? One of the things, and you're first to hear this, I won't say first, but someone brought to my attention yesterday about how we can look at things that we've purchased to see where we are. One thing that I'm looking at, and I've already made a call to HPD to see, is there something that we've passed on an RFP in the past to see if we don't need it, can we hold it, fund a class? Is it enough? Because my understanding that one class can be $7 million. Well, we have to find somewhere in the budget where we can get $7 million from. One of the things that I looked at is, and I have someone researching it now, to look at the helicopter purchase. We passed an RFP last year to purchase 15 new helicopters. Well, where are we in that? Do we need 15? Can we just get away with 10? If we get away with 10 helicopters for now, how much would that with us not getting that 5 will save us? Well, we can save on 5 helicopters. Maybe that's a $7 million to fund a class. But if not, can we take that money to be able to give more overtime to our police officers so they can be on our streets? So these are some things that I'm looking at to make sure that we can offset some of the budget cuts that occurred this past time.
Now, you told me before the start of this interview that you've been that there's a new subcommittee that's been created to deal with dangerous buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that and what the mission of that is going to be.
Well, one of the things I think when I talked to you last year, one of my main concerns was helping with blight in some of the District D areas, because you have some communities that are much older than others. I mean, older, where homes are falling down, there's blight, there's vagrancy, there's been an increase in crime, burglaries, drugs, it's just, you know, prostitution. It's just, in some areas, we just have to be honest, are worse than others. And one of the things that I looked at that I've been challenging myself just within this year long of 2008, if I could come up with a way to help remove blight, what would it be? So recently, a member of my staff, along with the mayor's office and representative from the mayor's office, we went out into the community and we drove for almost 5 to 6 hours. And we went street by street in a particular Houston Hope community, and we looked at how many dangerous buildings was in the area. Not just looking at the dangerous buildings, but the ones that were there when I started with the city of Houston, the ones that I know I personally reported, you know, 8 years ago. And we came up with a book so thick of complaints. And so I had the opportunity to meet with the mayor about it. And I said, we need to find some type of funding. We need to put together some type of policies. We need to put together something, because a building should not be standing for almost 8 or 9 years, still open and unsecured, because according to state law, you just have to do some of the minimum requirements, like board it up. Well, boarding does not take away the danger. So what we have to do is just to make sure that with this subcommittee that we possibly creating with the mayor, putting together a task force to look at policies and procedures on how we can expedite some of the tearing down of these buildings.
Okay. One of the things that you'll have to look forward to in the next session will be redistricting, redrawing city council district lines and adding in to mm-hmm. new council districts. How do you want to see that process go, and how do you want to see it affect District D?
I want it to go as smooth as possible. If I had a choice, I love every part of my district. from near town, from Montrose to the Museum District, to the Medical Center, to Sunnyside, Hound, Clark, Fort Bend, Quail Glen, Third Ward. I love all of my district, and I would hate to see any of my district go, but I know once we complete the 2010 census officially, it will give us an official count, and I know that once we officially reach 2.1 million, we have to do the redistricting. I just want it to be a fair process, a process that would benefit all of Houston, and put a face to all of Houston, so they feel like that they have fair representation here on City Council.
Obviously, we're going to be electing a new mayor this fall. Give me your assessment of, you know, your Mayor White and what it's been like working with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what should the new mayor's top priority be?
Well, one of the things that I can say about that question is that mine would be more of an employee boss type of thing in the past. Because, you know, I used to work for him, being a City of Houston employee, prior to going to solid waste. I worked in the mayor's office. So I had that relationship with the office, making sure that his number one concern was making sure that the needs were met, you know, for the community. But now as a council member, I am charged to make sure that this administration support the constituencies and making sure that they look at the priorities of the community. And so when you look at this mayor, yes, it was a strong mayoral form of government. Everybody knows, and he sets the agenda. You know, but I can say within all the years that I've known him, I think he has done a wonderful job as being the leader of the city, especially under pressure. You know, dealing with Hurricane Ike and Katrina, those are a great things or accomplishments that he can put under his resume. And not only that, steering and improving the dropout rate in the city of Houston. I mean, I don't know what mayor in the past has really just come out and did something like reach out to dropout. So he has some good accolades to put. The next mayor that comes, they really need to know what the issues are in the city of Houston. They really need to look at what has been plaguing Houston for the last 6 years. Look at the things that they feel that have not been done. Look at the things they feel that have not been paid attention to. And to make sure that they just know the issues that affect the city of Houston and what they can really, really do. One thing I don't go about is, you know, promises. Well, I promise I can do this. I promise. Because anything can happen within city government that can change the auspices of the way that we do things every day. So, you know, whoever the mayor may be, I don't have a choice in the race. I want to publicly say that. I'm not supporting any candidate. It's just made whoever the constituents choose and whoever the mayor that represents the city the next time, I'll be willing to work with them.
And you know, you talked at the beginning of this interview about the work you had gotten done on Cullen. Mm-hmm. You know, what else is going on in District D in terms of, you know, infrastructure or other visible things?
Well, there's a lot of things that have occurred in District D that we can say that our office has done. We have making sure that projects stay on target. We've made sure that some projects that was going to be pushed off to, like, later years, we've made sure that they stay on target, like streets, infrastructure. We have made sure that some of those communities that have had outdated piping, like corrugated piping, that the Public Works Department was able to go out there and look at some of the communities that had poor trainings. They were able to restore and give new trainings in some of the communities. Public safety, I've held five public safety forums within my year, and I want to say 15 months, five public safety forums to bring attention to public safety issues in the community, help with increasing in policing in some of the neighborhoods, specifically Third Ward, because there was a high increase in crime in the area. Participated in many, many community events to make sure that there was attention brought to HIV and AIDS. Just recently helped a community or an organization secure about $190,000 for HIV and AIDS education and training within Sunnyside, which, you know, is really plagued with increased numbers of HIV and AIDS. So there's a lot of things that we've done. Getting ready to build a new community center off of a Fuquay near in Hyrum Park area, a new community center that was funded. I'm looking forward to a new library that I've asked last year for the mayor to put in Palm Center, and hopefully before he leaves, we'll be able to break ground on a new library in Palm Center around about OFT. There's a lot of things that we have accomplished, and I said that we have done a tremendous job in my office within these last you know, 15 to 16 months, able to hit the ground running, was able to do that. Learning curve was not, when it came to city services, was not large, but the politics side of it was harder. So once I was able to grasp all of that, and with the support of such a wonderful staff, we were able to accomplish a lot of things, and I'm proud. I really am proud.
Well, one of the things that is often talked about in terms of getting stuff done in city council is that with the limitation of 3 2-year terms, there really is only so many things you can get done. Mayor White recently talked about, you know, maybe putting a ballot proposition to study changing Houston's term limits laws. What do you think about that?
I support that. If I had a choice, I probably would support 2 4-year terms, given that it would give us an opportunity, you know, to have that 1 year to run and that 3 years to really to accomplish some goals. Having 2 years doesn't give us a whole lot of time, because that's why it's hard to put new things into action, because the person who comes behind you may not see the same vision or share the same vision that you have. So it's tough, but I do support whether or not we can change the order of the years.
And, you know, you do have an opponent now on the ballot in District D. When people come to vote in this November, why should they vote to give you a second term?
Look at my past history. Look at the things that I've done for them, the openness, the transparency that our office have had. We've been hands-on, going into community, hearing their concerns, just being available. Nothing really has changed since me being really an employee to now, because I still currently our office have that hands-on touch. You look at it, my slogan back then was experience is the difference, and in this particular year, during my campaign, experience is what made the difference that allowed me to win victorious in the last election among 7 strong candidates. So now I have an opponent, but you know, this is a free country. People are going to have the free will to run. And don't really know my opponent too well, just know of him. But you know what, I look at it, if he feels that he has an opportunity to win, you know, I support his efforts and what he's doing. And so what we're going to do is just make sure when it just comes to the polls that people just consider Wanda Adams and look at the work that I've done.
Councilmember Wanda Adams, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you.